I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through a flame of flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why the anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." On that last verse, Brother Dan, I thought I had that written somewhere in the Bible. I thought, that won't take me long. Sure enough, didn't take me long to find it. Thank you. Aren't you glad you know who holds tomorrow? I think he's got today in his hand too, don't you? So what I'm really trying to say is everything's going to be all right. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 2, we're in the Old Testament this morning. Jeremiah chapter 2. Let everybody get turned there. Jeremiah chapter 2. Well, this year, 2015, is rolling right along, isn't it? Rolling right along. Two-thirds gone. One-third left. Lord may come before it's over. Be all right with me if he did. But if he doesn't, let's just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Keep on doing what we've been doing. Preaching, teaching, fellowshipping, singing, praying, witnessing. Trying to get folks born again. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. What's the first word?
World.
Sound like most of you there. Okay. What's that first word?
World.
I just wanted to get you wake up. Everybody good and awake here before we start reading. I'm not going to read just a couple of verses. So here we go. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Boy, looking right in the middle of that verse. The Lord speaks through his prophet. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. And so that's where I get the title, the morning message. What happened to our youth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in this place today. It's always good to come and meet with your people. First and foremost, Lord, we come to meet with you. And I trust that you'll have the liberty to meet with us in the next few moments as we look to the Word of God. Whatever's accomplished, we're always careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Whatever happened to our youth. Now, I'm not talking about our young people. I'm talking about all of us.
Right.
Whatever happened to our youth. The Lord said to the nation of Israel here, he says, I remember thee. He says, I remember when you were a young nation. I remember the kindness of thy youth. Now, in chapter 1 of this book, we learn about Jeremiah's call to the office of a prophet. His ministry began, the Bible tells us in various places, in the 13th year of King Josiah's reign. Now, I did my math on that. So that means that Josiah was 21 years of age because he ascended to the throne as a young child of only 8 years of age. All right? So now he's 21 years of age, and according to Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah was also a young man. You find that in chapter 1, verse 6. So at this time, Israel was blessed with a good young king after a series of wicked kings, and also they were blessed with a young prophet named Jeremiah, but unfortunately, they hadn't come to grips with that and didn't realize how blessed they were to have a good, godly king and a man of God, the prophet Jeremiah. So first of all, I want us to consider Israel as a young nation. Now, Jeremiah was reminding the nation of Israel of how they were dependent on God in their youth. That is, when they were a young nation. And I think he's primarily concerned about when they were called out of Egypt. In the book of Ezekiel, he talks about basically the same topic in chapter 16 and verse 22. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. Isn't it easy to forget?
Right.
The apostle Peter once said, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Why was he inspired to put that in the book? Because God knew, God still knows, that we have a tendency to forget. Now, this will not be good news for all of you, but the older you get, the greater that problem is going to be. Confession time. How many of you be sitting around in the living room? You may be reading your Bible. Well, that's a good thing to do. You may be meditating, and all of a sudden you think, boy, I need something, and it's in the kitchen. You jump up, time you get to the kitchen. Help me out. You never forgot what you went to the kitchen for, amen? So, hey, it's an addiction. It's contagious. This thing of forgetting. And so Peter said, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And God says here, talks about their abominations, and he says, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. They had forgotten where they came from. In the wilderness, they were given a pillar of fire by night, the pillar of a cloud by day, for their protection. In those days, 40 years of roaming in the wilderness. Now, it's true. They murmured. They complained. I mean, I know. That's why I know they were Baptist folk. Amen. They were good at doing those things, murmuring and complaining. But the bottom line is, they looked to the Lord for their provision because they had to. And they looked to the Lord for their protection because they had to. And after 40 years of struggles, they finally made it to the land of Canaan. Now, I want you to listen while I read from the book of Deuteronomy. And notice what God did for them once they crossed Jordan and got to the land of Canaan. I pick up in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll begin reading with about verse 10. God says to that little nation, that young nation, that youthful nation, Israel, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Now notice this. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God brought that little nation. They started out with 70 people. Over a period of centuries of time, they had millions. God led them for 40 years, protected them, provided for them in the wilderness, got them to the land of Canaan, and he gave them houses that they didn't build, lands they didn't buy, vineyards they didn't plant. All of those things God gave to them. And he says, now when you get that, remember, don't forget about me. Wow. So easy to forget. Ultimately, that's exactly what they did. They forgot the Lord. Jeremiah 5:28 says, they are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. Notice that word, overpass the deeds of the wicked. Centuries later, here's a nation, Israel, they've forgotten their heritage. They've forgotten where God has brought them from. They've grown fat. Never mind on that. Amen. And wicked. And self-dependent. And they had forgotten about God. Now, that's where they're at when Jeremiah was called to the office of a prophet. Through a series of bad and wicked kings, the nation had forgotten God. King Josiah was truly seeking after God. I mean, it was kind of a breath of fresh air when this little fella ascended to the throne. But he was operating according to his conscience because he did not have the word of God. But then just a few years, Josiah said, we're going to clean up the temple. And he sent in a crew. They began to refurbish the temple. And all of a sudden, one of them discovered the book of the law. And they bring the book of the law to the young king. And it excited him. Because up to this point, he was serving God according to his conscience. And according to the way his conscience dictated to him. doing the right things. But now he has a book of guidelines. I mean, he has some guidelines and some rules to follow. He's found the Word of God. And the Word of God brought revival. But when Josiah died, the revival died with him. But let me tell you something. If we ever have revival in America again, it's going to have to get back to this book.
Right, that's
right. Amen. Right here. That's why in my older years, I'm spending more and more time teaching the Word of God than I do preaching the Word of God. You never have revival apart from this book. You can't. You can't. We're going to have to get back to the rules and the guidelines. And that's the Word of God. Like or dislike, but old Trump, he's trumping it. Amen? Now, I sat and listened to that the other night. Now, I don't like some of the four-letter words he uses. And he can out-talk me. Amen? I mean, he's a mouthy-mouthy dude. But I like one thing he said. Now, somebody in the crowd was wanting him to autograph their book. And he said, well, bring the book up here and I'll sign the book. And, you know, he's a big braggadocio type of fella. He said, this is the second most important book in the world. But he said, the Bible is number one. You won't hear Obama say that. You may not even hear any of the others say that. But at least old Trumpy Trump's smart enough to realize that this is the book. No book compares with this one. And you'll never have revival apart from this book. This book generates revival. Now, back to Jeremiah chapter 2, our text. God says, I remember thee, and I remember the kindness of thy youth. But in chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, where it talks about they've become rich and they become fat. Now, we can look at that, and we can make an analogy here between Israel of old and America. Our nation was founded by men who believed this book. Many of their decisions were based on the Word of God. Not every one of them was a, quote, professed Christian, but they did honor this book. They had respect for this book. But America has forgotten her spiritual heritage. We're being controlled today by a Congress that has no idea what our spiritual heritage is like because they've never studied it. They grew up in a humanist generation, and that's all they know. They've not done their homework. They know absolutely nothing about our spiritual heritage. And you know, God must be saying to America, I remembered you when you were a young nation, and you looked to me for your protection and provision, but now you have forgotten about me. That's where we're at in our country today. Let's move along a little bit farther. God says, I remember when you were a young Christian. Let me ask you something. Do you remember that? Do you remember when you were a young Christian? Do you remember when you were a youthful Christian? Do you remember when you were an excited Christian? You know, I got to think about that yesterday. I remember when I got saved. Brother Doyle, right over Woodbine Street, that little two-room shell home. But that's where the Lord found me. That's where I was at when I got saved. And I got to thinking about how it was then. And just a young couple that just got saved. And boy, we get up on Sunday morning. Well, we'd be ready for church by 8 o'clock. We'd have to sit around and wait for church time. And I got thinking about those 2 hours. Boy, we were young Christian. Man, we was excited about our salvation. We loved our church, loved our preacher. And boy, we just couldn't wait. Then the Lord called me to preach. And I got thinking about some things. And Miss Benda keeps our photographs in a lot of them in a closet. We got boxes full of them. And I remembered 2 or 3 particular pictures. And I went back and it took me 30 minutes to find them. But I finally found them. And this is the way it was. I mean, I'm looking at one here. Boy, it's a nice slim woman here. That's a good looking woman there. Boy, slim and trim, weigh about 105 pounds. Who is that? Yeah, man. And boy, here's another one. Now,
If you want to realize that there's some folk who never change, here's a picture on Easter Sunday. My bride, Miss Benda, slim and trim. And there's a little Robin. And I'm telling you, other than a few birthdays, Robin hasn't changed one iota. Still got that little round face. And there she stands with that Easter basket. Oh, that's Easter Sunday. Well, I guess it would be Easter basket. It'd be Easter Sunday, wouldn't it? I don't know how I thought about that. But we were young Christians in those days. And J.C., we were excited about it. I mean, we couldn't wait to get up on Sunday morning, get dressed. We'd be ready by 8 o'clock, 2 hours before Sunday school time, amen? So what we do? We get out in the yard and take pictures. Pass the time away, waiting for church time. There's a little bit of fire inside. And so I have to look in the mirror and ask myself the question, Chase, is the fire still there? Is the fire still there? How many of you can remember when you first got saved? You remember those days? Are you still as excited? That's what I thought. Why aren't we? What's happened? Why is it we have to rush the church? Why is it we come dragging in late? Why is it we sleep in? How come we're not up at 8 o'clock and out taking pictures and, boy, getting ready for church? Is it because... I'll have to say, is it because we, like you said about Israel, is it because we've grown rich and fat? Become contented? What's happened? Things change. We couldn't wait for Sunday school time. Well, we even go back on Sunday night. We go back on Wednesday night. If they had revival, we went every night. Never missed a single service. I went 36 and a half years and never missed a Sunday in church. But I missed a couple since then. I was in the hospital. The only reason I missed then. But Chase, I still kind of like going to church. I still get up pretty early on Sunday. I'm usually down here by 5:30, 6 o'clock. Turn the air conditioners on. Making things work. Make sure everything's okay. I've been here 3 times this morning already. Miss Bender said, I forgot something. I said, well, I'll go back and get it. She said, oh, it's raining. I said, that won't stop me. That was the second trip. Third trip, and I'm still here. I mean, they just something about, hey, you toss me out that front door, you better lock the back door, because if you don't, I'm going to sneak in the back. I'm going to be right back in here. You know why? Because this is my home. I'm glad that I still enjoy coming to church. I'm glad I still enjoy my salvation. I'm glad I still have just a little bit of that youthful. You say, you're 71 years old. No, I'm just 48. I got born again, amen? Started all over again. Been saved for 48 years. I remember the night Brother Levi Reynolds and Kent Falwell knocked on my door. I remember the night I got saved. I remember I got up the next morning. In fact, I woke up, the sun was just coming up over the horizon. It began to peek its head right through that curtain in that bedroom. Boy, I got up, Miss Benda fixed me a good breakfast, headed off to work in Newport. I'm driving along, and that's all new ground to me. I went to church all my life until I got to be a teenager. Teenagers, they get that age where they think they don't have to go to church, so I didn't go. But my mama raised us all in church. But this is new ground to me. I'd never been saved. I just now got saved. I didn't understand all about it. But there was a peace inside. And I'm driving along and I said, Lord, I don't really understand all about this. But I think I'm going to like it. And 48 years later, I'm still going around saying, Lord, I don't really understand all about this, but I sure do like it. Bob, I don't understand why God is saving an old wretch like me. I don't understand how He do that. But I'm sure glad He did. Amen. I'm glad that the Bible doesn't say, he that understandeth shall be saved. I still don't understand it. But I thank God that He sent a soul winner to my house. I thank God that I trusted Jesus Christ. I'm thankful He saved me. I'm thankful that He kept me saved. And I'm glad that I still have just a little bit of that fire left in my old days. Amen. Keep fanning the flames. Amen. Don't let the fire go out. Can you remember when you were a young Christian? Amen. Last of all, later, God says this about that nation of Israel. Hosea chapter 7, just listen while I read it. I'm moving along pretty quickly. Chapter 7 of Hosea, verse 8 and 9. Ephraim. Now, Ephraim refers to the northern kingdom. 10 tribes. 5/6 of the nation of Israel. My math right on that? Yeah, I thought it would be with it. The northern kingdom. 10 tribes. Ephraim refers to that northern kingdom. Now look at it. Ephraim says, He hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. How many of you like pancakes? How many of you like a pancake if you never did turn it? It's going to be burned on the bottom side and raw on the top, and it's not fit for anything. You know what God's saying? He's saying to Israel, you're not worth a dime. You're like a pancake that's never been turned. Burned on the bottom, not fit to eat, and raw and doughy on the top, and it's not fit to eat. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, look at this. Gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. Yet he knoweth not. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. God was saying, you've forgotten about me, Israel. In a time of need, instead of looking to me, which I'd gladly help, He says, what do? You go off down to Egypt for help. You go off down to Syria for help, where you're not going to get any lasting help. Egypt's a type of the world. What do people do today? Have a little problem. Go to a psychiatrist, stretch out on the couch, answer a bunch of dumb questions, and walk out the same way you went in. Amen? Psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists. We go to the world for advice when we've got it right here. And God says the same thing about us as He did that nation of Israel. But you know, He said about that nation, it's really sad. Now He's talking to that nation. He said, there are gray hairs here and there, yet you don't know it. The nation had grown old and wicked and fat and turned away from God. And God says, but you don't realize how far you've ventured from me. You know, I'm an observer of people. I think a pastor ought to be. Not to be critical, not to per se be negative, but to satisfy my curiosity. You know what we've done in this country and around the world? We have a generation of senior citizens, older people, that don't realize they're old. Gray hair, if they have any hair. Men have 3 different hairstyles. Some folks parted. Some of us unparted. And most of us departed, amen? Long gone. Gray. Now, not too many ladies have gray hair. I see some gray hairs out there, but as long as they keep making hair color, the rest of you won't have. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says a woman's hair is given to her for glory. If it satisfies you, it satisfies me. Amen? You don't have to satisfy me anyhow. Amen? But we have a generation of senior citizens that for some reason or other, they think they're going to live forever. You talk to them about the Lord, I ain't got time to listen to that preacher. That's okay for you, but I don't have any need for that. I'll take my chances. I've had them say that. I'll take my chances. Wow. Listen, my works are good enough. I said this Wednesday night in Bible study. That generation is going to be judged according to their works one of these days. And they're going to find out their works are not good enough. Because we're not saved that way. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is the free gift of God. Work salvation is trying to bypass the cross. And it just won't work. What's happened to our youth? What's happened to the youth of our nation? What's happened to the excitement that we had when we first got saved? That does make a difference, doesn't it? The first time that you come to grips and said, boy, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I have a guaranteed home in heaven. And man, you could have shouted glory, hallelujah. Praise God. You know what we've done now? We've substituted, listen carefully to this. We've substituted this in our churches for amens and hallelujahs and glories. I know the Bible says the time's coming when the trees will clap their hands, but we hadn't arrived yet. Amen. What's happened to the old hallelujahs and amens and glories? Next time somebody sings a special, instead of clapping, I want you all to say, amen, hallelujah, praise God, amen. Renew your energy. Get your youthful spiritual life back. Remember how it used to be when you first got saved. And God rekindled that excitement that I had in those days. Young folks, we got 25 of them over at Children's Church, and that's where many of them go today, and that's fine. Got good folks who works with them over there. The young folks that's left, you listen to me, you won't be young all your life. But you better serve the Lord while you're young. And as the birthdays keep mounting, don't forget how it was, young folks, when you first got saved. Keep the fire burning. Keep that excitement. Senior citizens, you may be retired, but you don't have to retire on God. Spiritually, I think the most excited folks in the world, spiritually speaking, ought to be retired folks. Now folks keep it asking me, preacher, when are you going to quit and when are you going to retire? I don't have any intention to. They still make wheelchairs, don't they? I'm not going to retire. Why do I want to quit when I enjoy what I'm doing? Y'all call me Trump, amen? I didn't realize what I just did. He'd make a point, you know. Why do I want to quit? I enjoy what I'm doing too much. You know what the alternative to retirement is? The cemetery. That's the next step. So I'm trying to prolong it, amen? I'm trying to delay that cemetery, Brother Doyle. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing because I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm still excited about what I'm doing. And I pray that by the grace of God, I'll never lose that fire and that excitement. Whatever happened to our youth? Let's stand together.